You know, it's funny to think about where we are now as we are a few weeks away from WrestleMania, less than a month away. And to think about where we were at the beginning of the year when we looked ahead to WrestleMania 40 and what was supposed to be the WrestleMania main event. It looked like all roads, no pun intended, were leading us to Cody Rhodes against Roman Reigns in the main event for the Undisputed Championship. And then we heard that The Rock was going to come back. Even though Cody won the Royal Rumble, we saw The Rock come back. And we had The Rock, all of a sudden, stepping back onto television. It looked like Rock against Roman Reigns was going to be the direction for WrestleMania. Cody's story was going to have to wait some other time. Until the fans rebelled, or at least some of them. A subset of fans rebelled against the idea of Roman against Rock. They didn't like it, and that forced a change in direction, another change in direction for WrestleMania. Back to Cody and Roman, back to the way it was going to be. But I got to say, you know, having watched the show tonight, and really over the past few weeks, but especially tonight, I have to hand it to The Rock. I really do. He may be the smartest man in wrestling. I got to hand it to The Rock. He has managed to take a situation where he wanted to have the biggest WrestleMania main event of all time, right? And the fans, they didn't like that idea. So they had to go a different way. And what he has managed to do is take both WrestleMania main events on night one and night two and make them both about himself. He has managed to do the impossible. Now, I know we have a couple of people. We have Roman Reigns is in both main events. Cody Rhodes is in both main events. It's not even about them. You know, it sounds weird to say that because Roman Reigns has been the top dog in this company now, last 3 years, three plus. You know, this man has been the top champion in this company. Everything has been built around Roman Reigns and the bloodline when he's actually there. Like, he is clearly the top star on this show and in this entire company. But ever since The Rock came back, I mean, he has taken a back seat. He is, I mean, we talk about little brother syndrome. We talk about little brother. He's more like mini me. Right, he's got the same tribal tattoos and everything else, part of the same family, part of the same lineage. But he's like Rock's mini-me, but with longer hair. I mean, that's basically the role that Roman Reigns has been relegated to. This is not about Cody Rhodes anymore. We've gone from Cody and Roman to Rock and Roman, back to Cody and Roman, and now what we have, the true WrestleMania main event on night two, is The Rock against Cody's mom. Yes, Mama Rhodes has entered the story. He dropped a social media promo earlier today, 8 minutes long, and then pretty much mirrored it in the opening segment on SmackDown Tonight. The Rock dropped some gospel, as he likes to say. He dropped some gospel on Cody's mom and called her out on live television and basically challenged her to be front row at WrestleMania, so that when he whips her son, he's going to take his belt. He's got this leather weight belt. He's going to take his belt. He's going to whip her son so bad. He's going to have all of Cody's DNA is going to be on this. Well, maybe not all of his DNA. That would be sick. But he's going to take that belt with Cody's blood on it, and he's going to hand it to Mama Rhodes at WrestleMania. It seems to me like they're building to a spot where Cody's mom is going to slap The Rock. I don't know, but it's all about them all of a sudden. But Rock has done a masterful job of making this entire show, both nights, all about The Rock. And you feel it when he walks out there on the show, the music and the crowd reaction, and literally they show the electricity. The lightning bolts are shooting out from the sky. I mean, this man, he's like God when he walks out. Bravo, Rock. Bravo. Truly the biggest star in all of professional wrestling right now. Making that very clear is The Rock. This WrestleMania is all about the great one. You know, remember when Rock and Austin were headed for this epic match at WrestleMania 17? In WWE, they saw they had gold in this match with Rock and Austin, and they thought, well, how can we make this match better? I know. We'll add Austin's wife. We'll have Deborah get involved. We'll insert Deborah into the storyline, which was completely unnecessary because they already had this great match lined up for the WrestleMania main event. Now, thankfully, they had enough sense to abort that idea very quickly, and I don't think the Deborah stuff lasted more than, you know, maybe a couple of weeks. But the best stories are often the ones that are the least complicated. And so what I am hoping that we see in these next few weeks, as fun as it is to see The Rock, and I'm not saying it's not fun when he comes out there and does some of the stuff that he does. I had some fun with the segment tonight that we're going to talk about, especially when he came out and the music we heard. But what I'm hoping is, starting next week, as we get closer and closer to WrestleMania, the story comes back to where it all began at the beginning of this year when Cody won the Royal Rumble and he pointed up at Roman Reigns in the suite. We get back to Cody and Roman, because at the end of the day, that really is where the focus ought to be, at least on night two. Comes down to Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns, a rematch of last year's WrestleMania. And even though it's going to be overshadowed by The Rock and what The Rock is going to do, and if it's bloodline rules, you know The Rock will be involved, he'll be at ringside, or he'll be the referee, or there'll be some shenanigans. We already know this. But I'm hoping they can kind of get back to basics in these next few weeks. And they can put some more, you know, shine on Cody, because for God's sake, one thing that has been very clear this week, other than this WrestleMania, is really Rockamania. What's very clear is that The Rock goes out there, he shits all over Cody, he shits all over Seth Rollins, which is not hard to do. I mean, the guy's out there, he's, you know, he's dancing around, he's wearing all these weird outfits. It's not hard to make fun of Seth Rollins. But a lot of what he's saying is not untrue. And so far, the comebacks that we have heard from Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins have been less than stellar. You know, you're supposed to punch back, right? They haven't exactly been punching back very hard. That needs to change. It was fine that Cody went out there and showed some emotion. He got a little emotional on Raw Monday night, right? Talking about how he can't hand the title to his father. He's going to have to hand it to Mama Rhodes. That's all well and good. But starting next Monday, they better have a plan to send Cody Rhodes out there and not look like, you know, the blubbering challenger, or come out there and be nice to The Rock. He'll be out there in his suit, all dressed up, being very diplomatic. We don't need diplomatic Cody. We need the gloves to come off, and we need Cody Rhodes to punch back at The Rock. Because the longer this goes on for, where Rock is just going to bury all these guys, and there's no suitable comeback from them, boy, is he going to make them look like shit going into WrestleMania. But by having Rock on this show, there's another thing about having Rock on this show, and they opened the show with Rock tonight. Once Rock left the show tonight, it was all downhill from there. This show took one hell of a nosedive after Rock left. A very paint-by-numbers, kind of boring episode of SmackDown, right? There wasn't anything offensive about it. There wasn't anything bad as far as the in-ring action. The in-ring action was fine. I mean, you didn't get a lot of time for some of the matches, but that's just kind of the way it is on SmackDown. But once Rock disappeared, I don't know what happened to this show. I had a difficult time focusing and keeping my attention on what was going on, because it just felt like, man, there's just not a whole lot going on here. Even though there was, I mean, if you look at what we had tonight, Jimmy against Jay at WrestleMania was made official. Jimmy Uso answered the challenge from his brother from Monday night. We now have a triple threat match that is official for the United States Championship at WrestleMania. So we got that announcement. And we had a couple of matches, qualifying matches, for the six-pack ladder match that they're doing for the tag team titles at WrestleMania. So there were multiple things on this show that forwarded certain stories for WrestleMania. The stuff with Bayley and Dakota, they had a match at the end of the show. A very, very lame finish. But there's a story there as well. Obviously, those two, Bayley and Io, are heading for a women's title match at WrestleMania. So they hit the notes that they needed to hit. But man, after Rock left, there just wasn't a whole lot to this show. Not a very exciting episode of SmackDown. This is your SmackDown review. Hopefully this review will be more exciting than SmackDown tonight. For Friday, March 15th, 2024. SmackDown opened the opposite way that it went last week, where they closed with The Rock and Roman Reigns. There was no Roman Reigns on this show tonight. I mean, that would have been asking too much. But tonight, it opened with The Rock. And they played The Rock's music, big ovation. They were in Memphis, Tennessee tonight, another sold-out or near-sold-out show. I think they had 14,000-plus in the building tonight. And Memphis was home many years ago for The Rock when he was first breaking into the wrestling business. So, of course, he got, it wasn't Miami, but they basically gave him a hometown reaction tonight. But he comes out to his regular music. And then they switched. They switched to a different song. And I thought maybe they were going to do it. I wasn't sure, though. They put a new intro on it. But in fact, they switched mid-song to the Hollywood Rock theme. And nobody had a bigger smile on his face than I did sitting here when I heard that, because the Hollywood Rock song, because they faded out of the old one and into the Hollywood Rock theme. And man, that is one of my all-time favorite theme songs. It is such a great fucking song. And it's just got that legendary guitar riff to it. And if you think about it, we didn't really get to hear it for very long. I mean, we're talking about a song that played for maybe 2 months, 20 years ago. But I was so happy to hear that on the show tonight. I had a big smile on my face. So they had the setup in the ring for the Rock concert. There was a rumor last week, it was WrestleVotes on Twitter, who posted about a week ago, saying that there was a lot of internal discussion about doing a Rock concert in Memphis this week, but it was unconfirmed. And sure enough, that's what we got. We got a version of a Rock concert tonight on the show. And the fans were going nuts for this guy. Loud chants of Rocky. Rock said he usually comes out here and scorches and torches the people in whatever city that they're in. But this week it's different. And he mentioned that Memphis used to be his home. He brought up his debut in wrestling as Flex Cavana. I believe he may have wrestled Jerry Lawler in one of his very first matches down in the Memphis territory. But he said he mentioned Flex Cavana. He said he didn't know what the hell he was thinking, but he went for it. He said, finally, The Rock has come home. He's come back home. He said, we're going to have some fun tonight. This is the home of blues. This is the home of Elvis Presley. And so he's going to sing us a song. Yes, that's probably what Rock was hearing in his ears, right? When he blessed us with his singing, his great singing here on this show. I'm being facetious when I say this. But he said that this is what's going to happen to Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes at WrestleMania. And when he mentioned Seth and Cody, the fans booed. He introduced two musicians at ringside. I didn't get their names. I know one of them was part of the Warren Treaty, which is a husband and wife group. And I think it may have been the husband, and there was somebody else with him, and they were providing the musical backup to Rock's vocals. So they were, I think they were on top of the announce desk. They were standing outside, and they were playing the instruments while Rock was doing his thing in the ring. And so he sang a song that referenced beating Cody and Seth with his fanny pack. And when he said that, they put a picture up on the Tron, that photo, that infamous photo of Rock many, 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 many years ago, wearing his fanny pack and the long black shirt. And he mentioned that Dusty, well, actually, he talked about Cody. He said Cody was too weird, and they showed a photo of Stardust on the Tron. And that Dusty admitted that drugs and cheap condoms were a bad combination, and said Cody was a mistake, which is what he said on the show last week. Then he addressed Seth Rollins in his song. He said that his wife was more popular than him, and he said that he was more embarrassing than Ja Morant when he's waving a gun. And the crowd booed. The crowd did not like hearing that. For those who don't know, Ja Morant, he plays for the Grizzlies. He was suspended for 25 games last year in the NBA for waving a gun on his Instagram like an idiot. And that wasn't even the first time that he did it. He had actually been suspended once before that, I think 2 months before that, for the same fucking thing. So that's what that reference was. So then Rock criticized the Cody crybaby, saying that they pay for sex and that they can all kiss the ass of the final boss. He's calling himself the final boss, which he is. It's exactly what he feels like right now, right? It's not Roman Reigns. The final boss is The Rock. He comes out every week and says, I'm the boss. I'm on the board. I'm your boss. I'm your boss. I'm everyone's boss. He ain't my boss. But he's the final boss. So now, with the American Idol audition out of the way, Rock pitched it to a replay of Cody slapping him at the end of last week's show. And they came back live and he said, Cody finally grew a pair of balls. And what did The Rock do? He smiled when Cody smacked him across the face last week, right? He didn't lunge at Cody. He didn't freak out. He didn't lose his mind. He said he smiled. And then a few days later, Cody went on Raw and the world was waiting. He said the world was waiting to see how Cody Rhodes was going to follow that up and how Cody Rhodes was going to respond to the moment that made him famous. And he pitched it to a replay of Cody's interview with Michael Cole from Raw on Monday night, where Cody said that he was crying. He was getting very emotional. We talked about this on Monday in the review, where he was sitting there and he was talking about how, well, I can't hand the title to Dusty, but I can hand it to Michelle Rubio, which is his mom's name. So the mock. Talking about Cody's mom, not the mock. The Rock. Focus here. The Rock made fun of him for crying and for wanting to give the title to his mama. I'm going to give the title to my mama. Right? He was mocking him for it. Rock said he doesn't even want to talk to him right now. He wants to talk to Mama Rhodes. This is the real WrestleMania main event here. Philadelphia, 40th anniversary. The Rock, Dwayne Johnson, against Michelle Rubio, Cody's mom. So he wanted to address her. He said he knows that she's watching. He knows that she's listening. He said her son took something from him, and he's going to make him pay. He's going to make his family pay. He's going to make her pay. On night one, he and Roman Reigns are going to beat her son and Seth Rollins. And then on night two, it is going to be Cody Rhodes one-on-one with Roman Reigns. And it is going to be Bloodline Rules. And he knows that she wants her son to win so bad. And Rock said the title is staying around the waist of his cousin Roman Reigns. And the crowd booed. Rock said that she is going to get a belt. It's not the belt that she expects, but she is going to get a belt. It's going to be The Rock's belt. And he pulled out a leather weight belt. Same one from his Instagram video. Well, it was on Twitter and Instagram earlier today. He said he's going to make Cody bleed. He's going to tear his flesh and whoop him like a dog over and over again. And Mama Rhodes, your son's blood is going to be on this belt. And when The Rock is done whooping her son and Roman beats him, The Rock is going to take his belt full of your son's blood, and he's going to walk right over to her in the front row, and he is going to hand the belt to her. And she's going to be crying, oh, you'll be crying, just like her son. And he's going to whisper in her ear, Michelle, what can I say except you're welcome? Which is a song from Moana. Of course, is The Rock's movie. So the fans here in Memphis were actually chanting, whoop that trick, as The Rock was talking about Cody's mom. And I know whoop that trick is, I think, a Memphis thing. I think it's a Grizzlies thing. I know that. Now it's a Trick Williams thing in NXT. It means many things to many people. But look, when you say whoop that trick, okay, it also means something to a lot of people. And the fact that these fans were chanting that when The Rock was talking about Cody's mom is something else. Holy shit. That is something else. So this Rock concert, I don't know when the last time was that we got a Rock concert. It's been a long time. It's got to be over a decade. It's got to be. Since we had a Rock concert segment on TV, I thought the Rock concert was some fun nostalgia. I thought the actual song he was doing was pretty lame. He was out of key a few times, but not nearly as good as the older Rock concerts that he's done in the past. He did have the one good line in there about Becky being more popular than Seth, which may well be true. The promo itself, though, it was pretty much just a very sanitized version of the one that he posted earlier in the day on social media. And this is the thing that The Rock has been doing now over the last few weeks, where he'll post an extended promo, like the director's cut on Instagram. It could be 10, 20 minutes long, right? No filter, no censoring. He'll post that first on social media. And then on the show that night, he'll come out and give us kind of the Cliff Notes, more PG version, or as close to PG as The Rock can be, because I wouldn't call The Rock PG. But it was pretty much just a repeat of what he said in his gym earlier today. Honestly, the promo from earlier today was a lot better anyway, just because, if nothing else, it was a lot better because of this part.
I can't give the belt to Dusty, but I can give it to my mama. I can give it to my mommy. My mommy. Shut the fuck up.
Can't say that on Fox. So for that part alone, the promo on social media was much better than what we got here on the show. Rock was on his home turf tonight. Like I said, he basically grew up in a way in Memphis many years ago when he was first breaking in. So the Rocky chants were louder than they've been in other cities. And they're pretty damn loud no matter what city they go to, because the fans, you know, they still want to cheer for him. But they were ultra loud tonight. Like I said, they're going to be loud anywhere they go because this dude is a megastar. He's one of the most recognizable names in the entire world. Movies, he had a television show for a while. He was at the Oscars the other night. He's got his tequila. He's tied in now with this UFL league now that they've merged. He's involved in all of these different things. People know, everyone knows who The Rock is. And he's been so far removed from the wrestling bubble for so long. I mean, when was the last time we saw Rock this consistently on television? I think tonight was his last show, at least for a little bit. He's not, I don't think he's supposed to be on the show next week. Roman is back next week. Little brother can take the place of The Rock on next week's show. But of course he's going to come out wherever he goes, and he's going to get a mix of cheers and boos, but he's getting mostly cheers wherever he goes. Because not only is it cool to see The Rock on television every week like this, right in the eyes of the fans, we're getting heel Rock. Heel Rock is the best Rock. And it's been a while since we've seen that. And I don't know how much longer we're going to have it for. It may only be a few weeks. So, you know, he comes out there and gets these superstar reactions. But again, you know, it's incredible for 3 years how Roman Reigns has been positioned as the alpha male in this company. He's the guy. Right, champion for 1,200 and whatever days, however long it's been. And it didn't take very long. Rock walks in, and within a matter of weeks, I mean, the dynamic has flipped, and I assume that's going to factor into the eventual story that splits them off and leads to Rock against Roman, whenever that may be. Probably not until WrestleMania 41, because Rock is going right back to filming movies not long after Mania this year. He's not going to be around that much longer. So the earliest they could even think of doing Rock and Roman, maybe SummerSlam, but that's not looking likely. We're probably looking at WrestleMania next year. So I think that will play into a longer-term story there. But boy, you know, Roman Reigns went from number one to a distant number two very quickly. And as I said before, I give the guy a lot of credit because the fans rebelled. They had to go back to the original plan, and they decided, hey, we're going to have some fun with this, and we're going to go heel, and we're going to play the long game, and we'll tell a longer story since you people fucked it all up, and we can't do it for the 40th anniversary, so fuck it, we'll do it next year, and I'll go heel, and we'll drag it out. But The Rock has managed to turn this year's WrestleMania, both nights, into The Rock Show, is what he's done. He's in a tag team match in the main event on night one, and you know that he will be involved in some form or fashion in the main event of night two. And tonight he's out there talking about Cody's mom. He has made it all about himself. And WWE, I'm sure, is banking on that because Rock is big business for them. That's part of the reason why they're selling out. Not the only reason, because WWE was selling out a lot of places even before The Rock came back. But it certainly helps having The Rock back on TV. That's why they're selling out these buildings every single week. But this guy isn't even wrestling on night two, and that main event is really all about him. It's obvious that Cody cried on Monday on purpose so that Rock could respond on Friday in the way that he did and can really kind of zing him. And so now that this is over with, he has to have a good comeback on Monday. You know, he's going to be there live on the show on Monday night. I don't need to hear him sing. I don't want him to come out and have a Cody concert. But he's got to come out on Monday night, and he's got to find a way to give it back to The Rock in a way that doesn't make people roll their eyes. And The Rock has, look, The Rock is a better promo, just historically, a better promo than Cody Rhodes. The Rock is one of the best promos of all time. I mean, the guy comes out there, and the way that he can manipulate the crowd and have the crowd in the palm of his hand, there are a few people in the history of wrestling who could stand up to The Rock. And there are a few, but he's one of a very select few. So I'm not expecting Cody Rhodes to go out there and torch The Rock, but he's got to go out there and he's got to have an answer for all this shit that The Rock is slinging at him and talking about his mom. He's talking about the guy's mom. I don't want to see Cody come out on Raw Monday night and be diplomatic. I don't want to see Cody come out on Monday night and talk about the same stuff that he's been talking about the last couple of weeks. I don't want to see him come out there and be, you know, buddy-buddy with Seth Rollins and, you know, have one little quip about The Rock. Like, he's got to come out there and he's got to get serious and he's got to throw it back in this guy's face. He got very offended a few weeks ago when The Rock talked about his dog. So I would hope that Cody gets even more offended about Rock talking about his mother more than he was when Rock talked about Pharaoh the dog. So I'm expecting an appropriate response from Cody on Raw Monday night. But the important part here, to kind of put a bow on this, the important part, I thought, was the point in the promo where Rock, he talked about my cousin, Roman Reigns, is going to go to WrestleMania, and he is going to retain his championship, and he is going to beat Cody Rhodes. And the fans in Memphis booed. It was one of the only times during this segment the people booed The Rock in his adopted hometown here. And that's a good sign. It's a sign that the people, even though they love Rock, they don't want to see Roman Reigns leave WrestleMania with the title. They're still on board with Cody, finishing his story. They want him to take that title from Roman Reigns. That hasn't changed. And that's important. The last thing you want is for people to look at Cody and go, God, what a fucking geek this guy is. I can't believe I ever rooted for this guy. I'm on Team Rock. I'm on Team Roman. And they switch sides. And that doesn't seem to be happening yet. Another thing I picked up on, and this is not the first time I've noticed it, but he did it again tonight, and he's done it in every single promo since he's come back, where The Rock specifically mentions the title as the universal title. He did it again tonight. You know, the first time I thought, well, it's called the Undisputed WWE Universal Title. It's a mouthful. So him calling it the universal title, it technically is not a big deal, but he is calling it that every single time. And I don't know if that's on purpose. I don't know if there's any reason that he's doing that, because that's not the title that Cody needs to finish his story. It's about being the WWE champion. So again, I don't know if there's any significance to that. But my favorite part of the first 25 minutes of the show, honestly, these first 25 minutes was hearing that Hollywood Rock theme. That to me, I marked out for that. That to me was the best part of this whole thing. I was hoping we might get it at WrestleMania. I thought he was going to save it for WrestleMania is what I thought. I was not expecting him to bust it out tonight, but I'm glad that he did. It's hard to believe Hollywood Rock lasted all of 2 months. We didn't get nearly enough of him. Him and Hollywood Dave, when Batista went heel in 2010, we didn't get enough of him either. We had a qualifying match for the six-pack ladder match for the tag team titles of WrestleMania, with Legado del Fantasma, Angel and Humberto, taking on the LWO, Joaquin Wilde and Cruz del Toro. So the winners of this match would meet the winners of the second qualifying match later on in the show. The winner of that match will then move on to the ladder match of WrestleMania. So they're kind of doing it in brackets. This was part of bracket number one. No entrance for either team, so you could thank The Rock for that. Both teams, I thought, they looked impressive here in this match. Angel and Humberto, they delivered a double-team press slam at one point from the top rope to Del Toro. Del Toro was on the top rope, and they pressed them up. The two members of Legado were standing on the middle rope. Wild managed to break up the cover. Del Toro hit a standing Spanish fly on Humberto. Both men made tags. Joaquin delivered a double drop kick and then a tornado DDT to Angel. And he covered him. Humberto broke up the pin. Cruz del Toro landed a dropkick that sent Humberto to the floor. Angel then took out Joaquin Wilde with a super kick, and they nailed a double team pop-up kick to secure the win for their team. So Legado moves on in the bracket, which makes sense because Angel and Humberto, I mean, they're still relatively new to being called back up to SmackDown. I mean, they haven't been back on the main roster for that long. So it made sense for them to go over here in this match. They need wins like this to build some credibility on the show. I don't necessarily see them going to WrestleMania, at least not for the titles, but they had to win this match. We had Kayla Braxton was out. She was not out to the ring. She was out on stage, kind of over where the aisleway met the stage. They do these from time to time, where they will position their announcer right there, kind of in the aisleway. And she introduced LA Knight, who came out. He took the microphone from her and said, look, I just have to cook for a minute. I don't know. LA Knight hasn't been cooking much over the last few months, and I don't blame LA Knight for that. But he wanted to cook. Said AJ Styles, you said last week that I need to be humbled. Now you're talking my language. AJ, I'm standing right here. Why don't you come out and humble LA Knight? He waited. There was no AJ Styles. Another week, he said, where AJ can't show up. He said, AJ isn't big enough for this ride, little man. Old Napoleon Styles. This man sees fit to fly all the way to Australia, yet he cannot drive his keister to Memphis. He called AJ the biggest mark walking. And he said that if he can't show up to SmackDown, he knows somewhere where he can't help but show up. And he said he's talking AJ Styles and LA Knight at WrestleMania. He pulled his glasses off. He said, AJ says that he, being LA Knight, walks around like he owns the place. He may not own the place, but at WrestleMania, I will own your ass. And I swear to God, if you would listen to him saying that line, that one line right there, the way he said it, I'm going to own your ass, right? If you closed your eyes when he said it, you would think it was Stone Cold Steve Austin out there saying that line. go back and watch that part of the promo. Close your eyes, and I swear, you would swear that Stone Cold Steve Austin is saying that line. So he did his closing line, and that's when AJ Styles decided to run out, blasted him in the back with a steel chair. Knight was down on the ground. AJ opened the chair. He placed it over Knight's head, and the bar from the chair was basically pressed up against LA Knight's throat. And he sat down on the chair, and he told LA Knight, I accept. You know, getting a WrestleMania match with AJ Styles, I don't want to make it sound like that's such a horrible thing. Because AJ Styles, he's going to go down as one of the all-time greats. I mean, he's had a tremendous career. Obviously, he's older now. He's in his mid-40s. He's not the AJ Styles he was 10 years ago, but the guy can still go. The problem is, AJ Styles has been so marginalized. And I know he was involved in a title match at the Royal Rumble. He was one of three challengers in that match. But that's the only thing of note that this man has done in this company, probably in over a year. Okay, we know he was out for a few months there after the storyline injury. But AJ Styles hasn't done much of anything in a very long time. And so, because of that, him and LA Knight having a match at WrestleMania, it's great for AJ because it gets him a WrestleMania match. For LA Knight, it just feels like a step down. It feels like this is the best you can come up with for him. This is a guy who was one of the hottest stars in the company a few months ago. And now, him against AJ Styles, if you would have told me that 6 months ago, I would have said, man, that's going to be a hell of a match. I wonder if there'll be a title on the line. Maybe that would be the U.S. title match. Fast forward, and it actually feels like a letdown that this is the best they can come up with for him at WrestleMania. So they've cooled him off. There's no doubt that they have cooled this man off. He still gets a great reaction when he goes out there, but it's not those peak reactions that he was getting a few months ago. He got beat by the Bloodline in the same way that everybody else got beat by the Bloodline, and they really had no follow-up plan for him. And so now they've made the match official. I'm glad he's at least on the show instead of shoving him in a battle royal or something. But compared to what I would have wanted to see him doing on this show, which we'll talk about that when I talk about Logan Paul later, it still feels disappointing. And I never would have thought that a match with AJ Styles at WrestleMania, I would look at that and say, boy, that's a disappointment. That's what it feels like. Now backstage, Logan Paul met with Nick Aldis, and he wanted to know what punishment Aldis was ready to dole out to Randy Orton for beating up his good friend and his business partner, KSI, on the show last week. At the very least, he felt like Orton should apologize to him. Aldis told him he felt like Logan should personally go out there himself and ask for Randy Orton to apologize. Logan said that should be Aldis's job, but then again, he shouldn't expect him to do his job, or else he would already have been able to find an opponent for him for WrestleMania. He would live to regret those words. Backstage, Kayla Braxton scared the shit out of Paul Heyman as he was, she jumped out of nowhere as he was walking along with Jimmy and Solo. So Jimmy jumped in. He did have a response. Jimmy Uso had a response to his brother's challenge for WrestleMania. He said, we got little brother out here talking all that noise. He was talking about Jay, not Roman Reigns. And Jimmy was all fired up. He said, before everything, he was Jimmy's little brother. He followed Jimmy around. Last year at WrestleMania, it was Jimmy and Jay. This year at WrestleMania, it's Jimmy versus Jay. He goes, you want me? And he screamed, yeet. And then the camera lingered on him for an uncomfortable period of time. I mean, I counted a good 6 or 7 seconds, which is a long time to just linger with the guy maintaining that same face. I don't know why they do that. I almost think it's a rib, honestly. They did it with Kevin Dunn. They still do it now, even though Kevin Dunn is gone. But I still feel like it's probably a rib on the guy. I think they should open night one of WrestleMania with Jimmy against Jay. Because we already know Seth Rollins and Drew McIntyre, they're probably going to open night two. I can't imagine them going on right before the WWE title match. So if Rollins and McIntyre are opening night two, which they should, Jimmy and Jay should open night one. Just let them go out there and tear it up in the opening match. Today's episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. What I wouldn't give for an extra hour in my day. It would be an extra hour to get some work done, to get some sleep, or get some work done while I sleep. All right, so I guess that doesn't work that way. But a lot of us wish that we had more time in our lives. You know, I woke up this morning and realized it's daylight savings time, and we lost an hour because you spring forward, you fall back. And I said, oh my God, of all the times I can ill afford to lose an hour, we have daylight savings to deal with. A lot of us wish that we had more time in our lives, but we don't. So how do you make use of that time that you do have? You need to know what's most important to you and make it a priority. Therapy can help you figure out what matters most to you so you can do more of it. Therapy can be helpful to you in a whole lot of different ways. It can teach you important coping skills. It can help you overcome certain insecurities that you may have about yourself. It can help you better understand your own feelings. And that's just a few. Therapy is not just for people who may have experienced a trauma of some sort in their lives, but it can help you there too if you have been through anything like that. So if you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's all online. It's designed to be convenient and fit into your schedule, regardless of how busy you may be. All you need to do to get started is fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And even better, you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. See? I told you it was convenient. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Solomonster today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Solomonster. We had Randy Orton one-on-one with Grayson Waller. Orton got jumped from behind by Austin Theory, and the referee rang the bell. Waller tossed Orton outside the ring almost right away, and Orton turned the table, sent Waller into the timekeeper's area. After a distraction from Theory and Logan Paul, who was out there on commentary, Waller hit a rolling flatliner onto the lid of the announce table. He avoided a draping DDT a few minutes later, dumped Orton back to the floor. He tried to capitalize on that. Orton, though, turned that into a few suplexes on top of the announce desk. Back inside, Theory climbed up on the apron. Waller collided with him by accident and knocked him off. Orton then hit the draping DDT. He set up for an RKO. Theory, though, pulled Waller out to the floor. Orton dropped Theory with a draping DDT, and then he finished off Grayson Waller with an RKO. When the match was over, Theory attacked Orton with a chop block from behind, and he called Logan Paul into the ring. Theory and Waller had Orton on his knees, ready for Logan Paul to blast him with that loaded right hand. He didn't have the knucks on, but, you know, his whole thing is the right hand, right? The knockout punch. When Kevin Owens ran out to run off the heels, and he tried to help Randy Orton up to his feet. Orton, though, did not know that it was Kevin Owens, and he almost RKO'd him. And Kevin Owens, his reaction was basically like, what the hell, dude? Like, what are you doing? So then Theory got back inside. He got hit with a stunner into an RKO. He got a stunner RKO combo, which was pretty cool. Logan Paul now is in the aisleway, and here comes Nick Aldis. He walks out, and he says, I just wanted to follow up on our meeting from earlier. First off, were you able to get that apology from Randy? Said, no? Okay. Secondly, I've determined your opponent for WrestleMania. And then he said, no, I misspoke. I have determined your opponents for WrestleMania. Because at WrestleMania, it will be Logan Paul defending the United States Championship in a triple threat match against Kevin Owens and Randy Orton. And Logan Paul was irate over this decision. See, that's what happens, though, when you talk shit to your boss. I don't know why he's so surprised. I look ahead to WrestleMania, and I see this triple threat, which I saw coming. I mean, that's the obvious match. It's going to be a great match. I mean, look at the talent involved. How could it be anything but great? Logan Paul has been great. Randy Orton is great. Kevin Owens is great. You put all three of them together, I'm sure it'll be a fine match. It feels to me now that it's not one-on-one. Logan, I think, is going to retain the title at WrestleMania. And the match that I was talking about earlier, I said I was going to get back to the LA Knight thing when I talk about Logan Paul. It seemed like a slam dunk to me that you do Logan Paul and LA Knight heading into WrestleMania. The promos back and forth between them would have been gold. And it's an opportunity for LA Knight to go in there and win his first singles title on the main roster. You know, he was the $1 million champion in NXT. That doesn't count, right? This would be his first big title win at a WrestleMania. It's not the world title, but it would still be huge for him. So they're not doing that. And LA Knight is pushed a little further down the card. But if the idea is they don't want Logan Paul to lose the title yet, and he's going to retain, then I'm okay with that. Because if the idea is, well, we want to keep the belt on him for a few more months, and then they're going to get back to the idea, or not even get back, but I mean, they had a little interaction, I guess, at the Elimination Chamber, but get back to a place where we can have a Logan Paul LA Knight proper singles match sometime between now and SummerSlam, maybe at SummerSlam. You know, Logan Paul is not from Cleveland, but he's from Ohio. I guess to him, that's like kind of a hometown, homecoming, whatever. He announced it on his podcast this week that SummerSlam is coming to Cleveland in August. They probably want a pretty big match for him on that show, and it could well be defending the U.S. title against LA Knight. And that's cool, if that's the plan. Because I would rather they do that than have LA Knight wrestle Logan Paul and lose. So I'm okay with that if that's the plan. I would like to see them circle around to that as a match sometime between now and SummerSlam, and they could still do it. They could still get that title on LA Knight. They've just got to find ways to try to keep him somewhat hot in the meantime. He would have to go to WrestleMania, I would think, and beat AJ Styles, unless they want AJ to win the first match and they just kind of keep that going for a whole series of matches. Frankly, I don't know what else they do with LA Knight if they don't do that. So they may keep the LA Knight AJ thing going for a while, even beyond WrestleMania, but they've got to find ways to keep him somewhat hot so the crowd doesn't stop caring about him. There's only so much that the guy can do. He's going to go out there, he's going to cut promos, he's going to say, yeah, but you've got to give him something to really sink his teeth into. If they can do that, then eventually they could do him and Logan Paul. I really would like to see that feud. I think it would be fun. And then hopefully it culminates with him winning the U.S. title. But it just feels to me like this match that we're getting, the triple threat, is not, it's not set up for Logan to lose. Almost the opposite, where Orton and Owens being in there together may end up costing each other in the end. And Logan ends up being the beneficiary of that. We had Kayla Braxton was in the back with damage control. And Dakota Kai said that Bayley is not going to be able to take them all out and make it to WrestleMania. She said that she's going to break Bayley. This is all Bayley's doing. She was jealous of Io Sky. She was threatened by Kairi and Asuka, so they had to cut her loose. She told Bayley and all the chicks in the locker room that they, as in damage control, run the show. Santos Escobar. We keep things very professional around here. Santos Escobar, one-on-one with Dragon Lee. See, Rock isn't the only one here who's not PG. Escobar and Dragon Lee. You know, it's hard to get excited about this when they don't even give them 2 minutes. You believe this? They put Santos Escobar and Dragon Lee in the ring together, and they gave them just under 2 minutes. So Dragon Lee hit a sit-out powerbomb for a two count. The rest of Legado del Fantasma, they tried to interfere. Lee took care of them. But that led to Escobar hitting the Phantom Driver for the win. And that was pretty much it. That was basically the crux of this match. You know, for a guy who was getting a pretty decent push there for a while in Dragon Lee, Triple H is a big fan of his. He was getting a push. They sure did make him feel like a complete afterthought here. And I know the direction for WrestleMania. Well, you know what? I take that back, because let's talk about what happened when the match was over here. I was about to say the direction for WrestleMania doesn't involve Dragon Lee. It involves Rey Mysterio and Santos Escobar. But when the match was over, all the members of Legado, they attacked Lee. Carlito ran out for the save. Escobar, though, ended up cutting him off, ran him into the ring post. Rey Mysterio's music hit, and Rey took his time coming to the ring, but he did come down. He knocked Escobar around a little bit. He set him up for a 619. Escobar, though, was able to escape. Mysterio grabbed the microphone, and he said that next week he wants Escobar one-on-one, and he said that he will slap that stupid, arrogant smile off of Escobar's face. So they are not waiting until WrestleMania. They are doing the match next week on SmackDown. It will be Rey Mysterio one-on-one with Santos Escobar. This, to me, feels more like an angle than a match. Even if they get in the ring and they go ding, 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 I don't expect this to be much of a match before it ends up getting cut off or somebody runs in. We get some sort of a draw or a no contest or something. There's no way that we're not getting this match at WrestleMania. Because even if you think, well, maybe they want to have all the members of the LWO and all the members of Legado. Well, let's see. Legado del Fantasma is Santos Escobar, Angel, Humberto, and Electra Lopez. All right? That's three, not counting Electra, because she's not wrestling. The LWO, you've got Rey, you've got Carlito, you've got Joaquin Wilde, you've got Cruz del Toro, you've got Dragon Lee, who's technically, I don't think, part of the LWO, but he's one of their buddies. All right, very lopsided. You're not going to have a six-man tag or an eight-man tag because Legado doesn't have enough people. So the WrestleMania match has to be Mysterio one-on-one with Santos Escobar. Whatever they do next week, I still think we're getting the WrestleMania match. If not, they're out of their minds. We had our second qualifying match in bracket number one for the six-pack ladder match of WrestleMania with the New Catch Republic, Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate taking on Pretty Deadly, Kit Wilson, and Elton Prince. Like earlier, neither team got an entrance. Bate caught Kit Wilson in midair, hit a suplex and a standing shooting star press. Tyler Bate did his airplane spin at one point to Prince. After he dropped Elton, they went to commercial. Bate lifted Wilson for a delayed vertical suplex. Prince tagged in. Dunne, though, got the tag as well. He hit a couple of enziguris. Tyler Bate tagged in. They hit a double dropkick on Prince. Things broke down a little bit. All four men ended up in the ring. Bate ran into a boot to the face from Kit Wilson, and Pretty Deadly ran Bate and Dunne into the ring post. Pretty Deadly hit a double team bulldog. Tyler Bate, though, kicked out. Dunne tagged in. Bate and Dunne then hit their Birmingham Hammer finish. Talked about that last week since Pete Dunne is from Birmingham. It's the Birmingham Hammer, and they picked up the win. I liked it. You know, some decent action here. I feel like, I don't know, these matches, they all seem to run together. I feel like we've seen this enough times already. But this was fine for what it was. Dunn and Bate, they move on to wrestle Legado in the semifinal now of bracket number one. And the winner of that match will then advance and will claim one of the six spots in the ladder match or WrestleMania for the tag team titles. The main event was Bayley against Dakota Kai, who had the rest of Damage Control with her at ringside. Bayley went right at Dakota to kick things off here. And Dakota slapped the hell out of her, and so Bayley picked her up and ran her into the corner. Bayley slammed Dakota onto the apron and then suplexed her onto the floor outside. And they went to their final commercial break of the night as the rest of Damage Control surrounded Bayley outside the ring. Asuka tried to interfere. Bayley avoided it, only to run into a double stomp by Dakota. Asuka hit Bayley while Dakota distracted the referee and got a two count out of it. Bayley eventually came back with a modified draping neck breaker. Bayley went to the top. She connected with her flying elbow drop and got a two count. Dakota hit a great looking Pele kick that knocked Bayley backwards into the corner. Bayley came back with a power bomb, and now Io Sky decides. Now would be a good time to get into the ring. So in the middle of this match, maybe, I don't know, 7 minutes in, 7 or 8 minutes max, maybe, Io gets into the ring, and she lays her WWE Women's Championship belt down on the mat. And now they're going face-to-face in the middle of the ring, and the belt is on the mat in between them, and they're kind of circling each other. This is still a match in progress here. And then Io just decides to attack her. And the referee calls for the bell, and we get the lame disqualification finish. A lame, lazy finish to this main event match. Lazy-ass finish here. Naomi ran out. She was going to even the odds. And for a little bit there, she did. She took out Kairi. She took out Asuka. But Io threw her out of the ring and then turned her attention. All of them did. All of Damage Control. They turned their attention to Bayley again. The crowd chanted EST. They wanted Bianca Belair. Too bad, because you're not getting Bianca Belair. Instead, all the members of Damage Control, they each held Bayley up by her arms and legs. They kind of elevated her up off the mat while Kairi went up top. Actually, not Kairi, Io. Io went up top and hit her over the moonsault onto Bayley, and Damage Control posed to send us off the air. No Bianca Belair. Now, I don't know, maybe she came out when the show was over, maybe there was a dark match. I would be surprised if she didn't show up, at least for the live crowd, because they were in Memphis tonight. Bianca is from Knoxville. She's a Tennessee girl. How are you going to have SmackDown in Tennessee and not have Bianca Belair make an appearance? So I don't know if she did or not once the show went off the air, but she was not on the show. And you know what? I like the fact, actually, that she was not on the actual television show, and I'll tell you why. They did a segment on the show last week where Naomi was watching a Bayley promo in the back, and she was feeling sorry for her. And Bianca walked up and said, well, why are you watching this for? Why do you feel sorry for this woman? This woman made my life hell for the last 2 years. Her and Damage Control. Don't have any sympathy for them. Like, you haven't been here. You've been gone for the past 2 years. You don't know what these women have been doing here on SmackDown since you've been gone. And that was a real reaction. Like, that felt like the reaction that a real person would have who has been screwed over constantly and tortured by this group of women. Right? Bianca has every right to feel the way that she feels. And have no interest in helping Bayley at all. So I'm glad that she didn't actually run out here. It may take another week or two. I do think that in the end, though, we will see Bianca. Even if she has to be convinced by Naomi, I think Bianca will get involved. Because we are 3 weeks away from WrestleMania. And Bianca Belair has no match? I don't think so. Obviously, they have some kind of a plan for her. Now, maybe it involves Tiffany Stratton, who was not on the show tonight. I feel like Tiffany should have, I know she's only been on TV for like a month and a half, but I would like to see Tiffany Stratton have a match at WrestleMania. Bianca and Tiffany, I think, would be great. That's not the sense I get, based on that segment last week. And the fact that they had to know the crowd would be chanting for Bianca when the show went off the air, they're obviously setting up her involvement here in some way. Bianca and Naomi against the Kabuki Warriors for the women's tag team titles, or a six-person tag, Bianca, Naomi, and Jade Cargill, taking on Asuka, Kairi, and Dakota. So that way, Dakota gets a match at WrestleMania. That's kind of what I'm feeling right now. I think that that's more likely. That could be up in the air, though. Either of those matches could be up in the air, depending on the status of Asuka. Because at the end of this segment, Asuka was hobbling around on one foot. It was very clear that she was hurt. She was hurt, not necessarily injured, okay, because those are not the same thing. You could be hurt but not injured. I'm hoping that she's just maybe slightly hurt, and it's nothing worse than that. Because this woman hobbling around like that was not a good sign at all. And I didn't see how it happened, because one minute, Asuka's outside the ring getting involved, and she's with the other members of Damage Control, and she's shadow boxing, and she looks fine. And then the next minute, she gets into the ring from the moment she got in, like when the match first ended, and she was hobbling around. It's not like, oh, it happened there. Oh, she tripped, or she got thrown, or somebody stepped on her ankle. Like, I don't know. I don't know how it happened. I'm hoping that if anything, maybe it's just a sprained ankle. Hopefully it's nothing more serious than that, because obviously she's one half of the tag team champion. So if she's hurt seriously enough, then that kind of throws everything into a state of chaos here. I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, it wouldn't be hard. You could have Dakota sub for her in Damage Control, like the Freebird rule, have them defend the belts. I mean, there's always a way around it. But boy, that would suck if Asuka got hurt and had to be off the WrestleMania card this year. So the Rock segment was fun for what it was, even though I question, you know, how it's making the other two baby faces involved in this feud look. And after that, this show took a nosedive. You know, it was paint-by-number stuff. They gave the tag matches a little bit of time, but these teams are hardly over enough to really carry the show. It was good to see Dakota in there as her first singles match, her first, like, proper singles match since she was cleared to come back from the torn ACL. I thought she looked good, but the finish of that match was just brutal. Just not unexpected, not really unexpected, but just very, very lame. Now, next week, we get Rey Mysterio against Santos Escobar. We'll see if we actually get that. AOP is taking on the Street Profits in one of the qualifying matches for the tag title match at WrestleMania. In the other one, it's the OC. How about that? Anderson and Gallows are getting a match on SmackDown. Holy shit, when was the last time we saw them in the ring in a tag team match on SmackDown? I know they've been hanging around in NXT more recently. They're going to be taking on Grayson Waller and Austin Theory. And so those two matches are a part of bracket number two. And so that's how that's going to work. And they are advertising a face-to-face. It's going to be Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns going face-to-face on next week's show. There should not be any Rock unless he sends in a tape of a promo. Remember when he sent in a tape of a promo with Hulk Hogan in the ring and Rock, Hollywood Rock, up on the big screen? Kept interrupting Hogan and says, "All right, Hogan, I'll give you the sign. When I go like this, you can go." And then he's yawning. He's eating a cookie. He made Hogan just look like a fucking chump. Maybe Rock will send a tape in and he'll make the two of them, you know, he'll make Cody look like a chump. I don't know. But we're going to get that face-to-face on SmackDown next week. It's going to be a big week for Cody Rhodes on Monday and on Friday. He's got to go out there on Monday. He's got to respond to The Rock. He's got to go out there next Friday. And he's going to go face-to-face with his opponent at WrestleMania. And he needs to stand his ground. And he needs to have a good showing. You know? Get that fire in his belly. Show some passion that we know he has. That's what the Cody Rhodes character needs to do on TV next week. It's going to be a very important week. Here's the Twitter poll. What did you think of SmackDown from Memphis? How'd you feel about this show? 56% give this show 4 stars, 26% 3 stars, 8% 2 stars, and 9% gave this show 1 star. What was it the other night for the big business show, the AEW show? I think it was like 12% gave that show a 1 star rating. So SmackDown tonight gets less than that, 9%. Like I said, paint-by-number shit. Not a terribly exciting episode of SmackDown, especially after The Rock left. It's hard to follow The Rock. That much is pretty clear after what we saw tonight. It's hard to follow The Rock. Turtlehead says, two guys, 69, the Solomon. Yeah, that's great. What is this? Scream 7 said Neve Campbell is back. I thought Neve Campbell was done. I thought everybody walked out on Scream. All the other actors, and they weren't even going to do it. Are you telling me that Neve Campbell is coming back after all? Is that what you're telling me right now? Am I going to have to watch Scream 7? I'm going to read through your super chats. Thank you. You guys have been humbling me tonight. Got some big ones. Let me go through some of the early ones that came in before I went live that are not shown in that list because YouTube has been very weird. But we started with Brother Fluff Salisbury with a $5. He said, I watched the John Tenta Dark Side... Bleh, I can't even talk. I watched the John Tenta Dark Side of the Ring episode earlier and was reminded again that Brock Lesnar got his jogging in place gimmick from Earthquake. Well, I don't know if he got it from Earthquake, but yes, he also did the jogging in place. He popularized it with a whole new generation of fans. JS Warrior 19. Hey brother, thank you for the $20. Very much appreciated. Solomonster, hypothetical plans for Charlotte Flair. If she was not injured, I think she would have feuded with Tiffany Stratton or formed a tag team challenging Bianca and Jade as an attraction for WrestleMania. What are your thoughts? I just kind of figured it was going to be Charlotte and Bianca. I think that was going to be the direction for WrestleMania. And then she got hurt. Wow, so Neve Campbell has confirmed that she is back. Oh, and Kevin Williamson is directing. Well, so now you got my interest. That's great news. J-Glow with the $9.99. Is The Croc so butthurt that the majority of WWE fans chose Cody over him that he has to resort to burying Cody on the mic and turning the fans against him? The Croc went into business for himself. J-Glow is not a fan of The Rock's shenanigans here on the road to WrestleMania. Like I said, it's amazing what he has done. He truly is, I guess, the final boss in the way that he has made both nights, both main events of WrestleMania this year, all about The Rock. It's incredible. Lady Fire Panda coming in hot with a $20 plus super chat here. Shalom. I was wondering something. Other than Sid breaking the absolute freaking hell out of his leg, what is the worst injury that you have ever seen? Also, good job on defeating Goku. No idea what that means. Worst injury? Well, I assume you mean worst injury in wrestling. You know, the Dante Martin injury last year at that Ring of Honor pay-per-view was pretty sick. But if not that one, I would probably say Armageddon. I think it was 2006, I want to say. It was Joey Mercury and Johnny Nitro. It was a fatal four-way match. I know the Hardys were involved. I don't know who the other two teams were. I don't remember who they were. But it was a fatal four-way match for the tag team titles. And Mercury was not able to get his hands up in time to block the ladder. It was like a seesaw spot. I think Jeff Hardy came down to the ladder. The ladder whipped up. He wasn't able to get his hands up in time. And that ladder smashed him in the face. And his face exploded. And you look at pictures of him in the aftermath of what happened, like in the hospital that night. You didn't even have to wait that long. Within seconds, his face was so swollen, he couldn't even see out of his own eyes. And I can't believe he only got away with, I think, just a broken nose. I think that was it. I don't remember if he had any other broken bones in his face. It might have just been his nose. But watching it when it happened, like, this man's face just exploded, blood everywhere, and the way his face swelled up, like, my God, that was scary. I mean, you could have been killed. That could have been so much worse, and it was bad enough. So, I would say that's probably top three in wrestling of actual injuries that we've had people die at wrestling shows, but if we're talking about injuries that I've seen with my own two eyes, I mean, that one is way up on the list. Alex, with the $9.99, you are easily the best wrestling podcaster in the game. Always a pleasure to tune in after the show. That is Alex from Lewiston, Maine. Alex, thank you very much. That is very nice of you to say. I'm glad you enjoy the shows. And so, Alex, I salute you, sir. Thank you very much. I'm going to give Alex a yes chant. Yes, 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 yes. Alex deserves a yes chant for being such a big supporter of the podcast. I appreciate that. We've got our old friend here, Dick the Cock Johnson. Cody, Seth, and Roman should all be embarrassed by how much more entertaining The Rock is than all of them combined. Arabian Night. 10 matches set for WrestleMania. 14 probably the cutoff. Last four could be Nia Jax against Jade, Naomi and Bianca against the Kabukis, Rey against Santos, and Lashley against Karrion Kross with a stipulation. I hope for Lashley's sake that he gets on the WrestleMania card. I mean, he really got the short end of the stick last year, so him against Cross is the likeliest thing that they would do if he was going to be on the show, so I hope he makes it. And, I mean, look, you got two nights. I think 6 matches, 7 at the most each night is, like, the perfect number. And I believe, starting with WrestleMania, I believe the pay-per-views are going to be starting at 7 o'clock Eastern. So they're trying a little experiment where they're going to bump the start time up by an hour, which is what they used to do. Like, originally it was 8 p.m. many, 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 many years ago. And then they went to 7, and then they went back to 8. And so now they're going back to 7 p.m., which probably means a 5 o'clock kickoff show. But you have about 6 to 7 matches per night. That's 12 to 14 total for both nights of WrestleMania. I think that's the sweet spot. So I think that's what they'll probably end up going for. Triple H likes to keep these shows tight. Yusuf. With the $5. Rocky is the GOAT. Sorry, Mama Rhodes. Also, my brother and I got tickets to Hog in Philly. See you there. Commissioner Solomonster, I will see you there. Yes. I will be in Philadelphia that Friday. And I may have something else that is pretty cool that I'll be able to announce soon. But yes, I will be there for Hog on Friday in Philadelphia. At least that Friday. So I will see you there. Make sure you say hello when I see you. If I don't see you, you come over and say hello to me. Ryagu, do you think that LA Knight should be facing Logan Paul? I do. But it's not meant to be for WrestleMania. Hopefully they do it sometime between now and SummerSlam. DEH Sires, Dakota is so underrated in the ring. I'm glad that she's back. I'm just happy to have her back. Orhan, Austin must be getting an itch. Watching The Rock. You know, I know there's people who think that, Steve Austin may end up getting involved, and, you know, you can never say never, but for those of you who don't follow Austin on his Instagram, here we go, on his Instagram, he's out in Nevada right now, and he's doing a lot of racing, and I forgot the kind of racing that it is, but it's like competitive racing. I don't think that if they had plans for him at WrestleMania this year that he would be doing competitive racing 3 weeks before WrestleMania. So I don't know if he's going to be there. It would be nice to at least see him, but I don't know if he will be there. Am I getting cheesesteaks? You don't know me very well if you would ask that question. I'm not getting cheese anything. So no, I will not be getting cheesesteaks. I would happily have steak, but no, I will not be having cheesesteaks. Unfortunately. Orhan says, how do you compare The Rock and Hogan all time? It's finally here, we're picking up with our list. Rock and Hogan, I mean, Rock and Hogan are among two of the very best of all time. I mean, what? How do you want me to compare them? Hogan was far more important to this company and the growth of this company than Rock was. But compare them in what way? I mean, compare them in terms of promos? Rock has the edge on promos. You know, compare them in terms of the money that they've made. You got to go with Hogan. I mean, Hogan has had such a long run compared to so many of these other guys. Rock's run was not that long. If you think about it, his real run was maybe 6 years. That's not a long time. Now, he made the most of those 6 years. You know, made himself one of the biggest stars of all time. But, I mean, if we're comparing, their place in history, you know, Hogan's here and Rock is, and most people, frankly, are below that, are below Hogan, you know, in the pecking order. That's why you hear on a lot of people's Mount Rushmores, Hogan's name comes up on most of them, I would say, and Rock doesn't. You know, Rock's on a lot of people's Mount Rushmores, but not the way that Hogan is, because he didn't have that level of influence over the growth and success of that company at such a pivotal time in their history in the way that Hogan did. Paul Carpenter coming in with a $2 super chat. I thought Cody's mom was Sweet Sapphire. Man, you've been lied to. You only thought that it was Sapphire. No. That was Dusty's friend. They were friends. They were just friends. It was a completely platonic relationship. Mr. Andrew. Mania usually has around 15 to 16 matches, and I don't see key talent off the show. So what multi-person matches can you see? I see a lot from SmackDown. Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do. You could just shove a bunch of people in a match. I have no idea what they're going to be. I don't think you need to flood the shows with matches. I just don't. I mean, you could do 7-7. I think 7-7 would be fine. That's 14 total. I think that's a good number. I really don't think you need to go beyond that. They're going to have an Andre Battle Royal on SmackDown probably that Friday before. They've been doing it on SmackDown. Some people will make the Mania card. I think most people will make the WrestleMania card. At least as far as the key names that you would expect. Most of them will make the WrestleMania card. Some will not. I don't think you need to shoehorn everybody into the show. I know some of the guys on the roster are trying to get some kind of like Meat Mania match going. I know Bronson Reed was talking about it. They want, he wants Ivar in there, and they're trying to get like the big guys involved in like Meat Mania. There's no way WWE is going to call it that or even do it, because then they'll just get accused of copying AEW. So his first mistake was calling it Meat Mania, because you're not gonna get them to do that when Tony Khan just did something very similar. So they should come up with a different name for it. Don't call it Meat Mania. That's only going to hurt your chances. Brandon Proctor. I popped when I heard the Hollywood Rock theme. We are back in 2004. Oh boy. Don't say that. Back to the dark days of Raw. Don't say that. The Juliet says, no Everest for Darby this year. Thank the foot. Yes, if you missed that, Darby Allin is not going to be climbing Mount Everest, which means he will live to see another year. Well, I shouldn't even say that. I mean, given the risks that this guy takes, he may not. But he broke his foot 2 minutes into the match with Jay White on Dynamite this week, and he wrestled the rest of the match with a broken foot. And eerily enough, they shot an angle at the end of that match where Bullet Club Gold broke his ankle. He like broke his foot, basically. But he actually has a real broken foot. He posted the X-ray. TMZ had a story. So he's going to miss time anyway. But Darby tweeted himself and said, Everest next year. Good. Push it off. Consider it a sign from above. I don't know if Darby believes in a higher power, but it feels to me like fate intervened here and probably saved this man's life. I would take it as a sign that the Everest thing was not meant to be. And you know what? If he wants to do Everest, then Tony Khan is going to allow him to do so. Now he'll have more time to practice. instead of just doing 6 months and, okay, I'm ready. He's really that serious about it. He should probably invest more time in practicing for it. Hitesh with a $6. Roman will clearly go to Hollywood soon. Rock is on the board for 2 years. It's possible The Rock is actually the longer-term character now. Rock is part of the company. So Rock can technically, he could show up whenever he feels like it. Whenever he has a free day, if he wants to show up. He's been showing up more than Roman Reigns recently, it feels like. Yeah, Roman is definitely going to end up in Hollywood at some point in the not-too-distant future. Slipper House, extra, extra, says, The Mock sucks croc. Yeah, we're going to call him The Mock from now on. I don't know how I don't know why I called him that. I was talking about Cody's mama, and I just came out, I just said, The Mock. It sounds like a terrible character from 2K24. Remember I was the lock in last year's game? That fucking storyline in My Rise mode, the lock? Now we have the mock. Donna Yasu, if Vince were to still be in control and Darby climbs Mount Everest and plants an AEW flag, would Vince want to have someone climb it to put a WWE flag? No, because Vince would not allow one of his talents to do something so stupid. We've got Mr. A to the JKSU. Thank you for the super chat. Dev to Dust, Ring of Honor Brian Danielson, and 2010 Brian Danielson resembles you more than Orange Cassidy does, in my opinion. Orange Cassidy resembles Ryan Gosling more so than resembling you. Oh, I've been told I resemble everybody. I resemble everybody from Brian Danielson in Ring of Honor to Jake Hager to Orange Cassidy. I was compared to somebody else too, and I was greatly offended. Oh, I think it was Kofi Kingston. I think it was Kofi Kingston in 2012 when we did a bunch of interviews in Miami for that WrestleMania. And Kofi was the one who said, you look a little like John Laurinaitis. And I was offended back then. I'm even more offended by that now. Thankfully, he was the only one to ever say that. But I believe it was Kofi Kingston who compared me to John Laurinaitis. And we don't need to be making those comparisons now. There ain't nothing I have in common with John Laurinaitis. I can promise you that. Fucking Kofi Kingston burying me like that. How dare he? J-Ray. SmackDown tonight in my hometown of Memphis was a good show. The Rock concert was hilarious. Plus, I got to meet and get a little selfie with Cody Rhodes. Oh, so Cody was there, huh? Well, I'm glad you had a good time, man. It just felt like things took a nosedive after that Rock segment. Kells with the $28. What up, brother Solo? I need your thoughts on this. Cody being pushed as this underdog heading into WrestleMania. I don't get how he is an underdog. LOL. Well, you know, you got a point there. They're going to try because it's Philadelphia. It's the Rocky Balboa story. And they're going to try to push him as the underdog because the bloodline has strength in numbers. And so many people, including Cody a year ago, have been screwed over by the bloodline that he is the underdog going into WrestleMania. But you're right. Cody came back to the company. He beat Seth Rollins. He beat Seth Rollins 3 straight times, including with a torn pec. He was gone for 9 months. He came back. He won the Royal Rumble. He went to the main event of WrestleMania. Then he beat Brock Lesnar at the end of their feud. His team won War Games. And he became the first man in 27 years to win back-to-back Royal Rumbles. And in between there, he won the tag team titles with Jey Uso. So the idea of Cody being the underdog, it is a little ridiculous. But he is an underdog in that he got fucked by the bloodline last year. And so here we are again, The Rock on the board, right? Threatening to screw him out of his destiny once again. It's, you know, it's the classic babyface story where Cody has to overcome all this adversity if he wants to walk away with the championship. It's a pretty basic story. But yes, Cody is someone who has actually had quite a bit of success. From the moment he stepped back in, he's been pushed as the top guy in this company. from day one. Chad Gable is an underdog. Cody Rhodes, not really an underdog. Holiday 197, what are your thoughts on the WrestleMania match card so far? I think it's pretty good. It's pretty good so far. Cody and Roman, I'm looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to the tag match on night one. I think that's going to be good. Seth and Drew, I think, is going to be very good. I was looking forward to Rollins and Punk, but Rollins and McIntyre is going to be very good. Sami Zayn and Gunther is going to be very good. It's just I really wanted to see Chad Gable in that spot. I just felt like that was the better story, and I am disappointed that we're not getting it. Doesn't mean that Sami and Gunther is not going to be a good match, though. Logan Paul, Randy Orton, Kevin Owens also going to be very good. The six-pack ladder match is going to be a clusterfuck. You got six tag teams in a ladder match. I mean, how many ladders are we going to get? We're going to get 10? I mean, it's going to be a mess. What else? We have Becky and Rhea. Big-time match for the women's division. That's going to be very good. Bayley getting her moment with Io Sky. So I think it's a strong card, and it's incomplete. We still don't know every single one of the matches yet, but I think it's a pretty strong card on paper. Daniel Malcolm with the $35 Hollywood Dave Batista Super Chat. Daniel, thank you very much. Rob G says, Rock distanced himself from WWE so much in 05 and 06. Well, he was offended that they let his contract expire and they blamed it on a clerical oversight. There was some bad blood there for a while. Rock was hot about that. He was not happy. And I also think that Rock had people in Hollywood that were in his ear, telling him that if you want to establish yourself as a movie star, you got to get rid of the wrestling stuff for a while. You got to distance yourself from it. I think that was part of his calculus too. He's always been a wrestling fan. It's in his blood. It's in his family. He was always going to come back to it. But I do think part of it was that he felt like, look, if I want to get myself over in this other world, I have to get away from this for a while. And the way that his contract ended and things went down with WWE, I think really bothered him. And there was, again, there was some friction there for a while because he didn't do anything for a few years. For several years, actually. I remember there being talk probably towards the end of 04, heading into WrestleMania 21, that Rock... And again, I don't know how true this is. I'd love to ask him. But I remember there being talk at the time about Rock wanting to possibly work a match at WrestleMania, find a way to reach out to Randy Savage and have Rock against Macho Man at WrestleMania 21. So point being, he was already thinking about plans for the following WrestleMania when everything went down. And he obviously wasn't at that WrestleMania. But yeah, he didn't do anything with them for a few years. This Journey Called Life. Hey, Solo, how can they make LA Knight hot again? Get him in there with Logan Paul, who everybody hates. That's why I thought it would be such a great, you know, matchup to put the two of them in there together, because Logan Paul is a genuinely hated heel. And so it would just make LA Knight that much more of a babyface if he went in there and talked shit about him, and if he went in there and beat him and took the title from him. It would have been perfect. And I still think it can be. Alex with a $10 super chat. You mentioned the Night 2 main event is going to be chaotic and messy in terms of interference. Throw some names out there that you think will show up or should show up. Well, you'll get Rock involved in some way. You will have Jimmy, you will have Solo, you will have Heyman. There's the potential for a new Bloodline member to debut. I kind of hope not, because not that night, because if there's a new Bloodline member, like a Jacob Fatu or somebody, or a Tama Tonga, you know, shows up since he's coming to WWE, that probably means Cody would lose, and that would be a terrible decision. So I think the Bloodline guys, I think you may see Seth Rollins show up. I think you may see some other people who have been wronged by Roman Reigns. We could see Triple H play some kind of role in that match, maybe in fending off Rock. I mean, there's any number of people who could be involved. in my kind of fantasy world, I want to hear the glass shatter and have Austin, you know, drive out in his ATV and stun The Rock one last time, you know? It's possible. It might not be very likely, but it's possible. Right? So you can get any number of people involved in this match. Mr. Fister, just listen to Russo on Busted Open. Wow, bro. Well, I'm glad you did, so I don't have to. Abu Sika says, Bukkake, St. Paddy's Day weekend edition. That's right. Is that what people are usually doing on St. Patrick's Day? I remember looking out the window of my office, where I used to work, in Midtown. It was right, not far from Fifth Avenue. On St. Patrick's Day, just look out the window and you see people. I remember, clear as day, I still remember these two girls, just drunk as a skunk. One of them was hugging the, forgot what it's called. Fire hydrant. I don't know why that popped out of my head. But she's on her butt, sitting on the ground, hugging a fire hydrant. I couldn't figure out why until I saw this green puddle on the floor, like next to her. And she just puked up everything that she just drank. And I said, yep, it's St. Patrick's Day. Orhan, 2018. Has AJ mostly been disappointing or misused? I don't know what the significance of 2018 is, but lately, yes. Unless you mean since 2018. I think since 2018, AJ has not been positioned as high up on the card as I feel he should. He's had these fits and starts. You know, he was WWE champion for a while, including in 2018, I think, right? The early part of the year he was the champion. But I mean, if you're referring specifically to his booking since 2018, I don't think you're too far off. I think I can't think of very many things he's done since that time that I would say really stand out to me as, you know, as far as his body of work goes. Like, oh, you got to go back and check out these AJ Styles matches. I always go back to 2016. I go back to the matches with John Cena and the Royal Rumble in 2017. I remember he had a couple of really good matches on pay-per-view with Roman Reigns in 2016. Luis. Tony Khan has to give permission to Dustin Rhodes to make a televised appearance at WrestleMania so he can get his hands on The Rock. Well, I don't think that The Rock is interested in Dustin Rhodes. He's interested in Cody's mom. So I don't think we're going to get Dustin. I think we're going to get Cody's mom before we get Dustin. Arabian Night. So are we not getting a Triple H and Rock confrontation? Doesn't look like it. You know, again, Triple H, as far as any physicality, probably can't do much of anything. So I guess they felt that there wasn't much to do. Because he hasn't even been mentioned. Triple H has not even been mentioned the last couple of weeks. Unless he gets involved in that main event on night two. If Rock tries something and Triple H wants to kind of cut him off, right? You could always do that. But no, it doesn't look like it. Kells, could Roman cut a promo on McAfee next week? That's right. Roman Reigns is going to be on Pat McAfee's show next week. Could he cut a promo? Yeah, I mean, I why wouldn't he? Why else is he going to be on there? When Rock was on there, he cut a promo and they aired it on SmackDown. He was talking about the Cody Crybabies for the first time. So yeah, of course he's going to cut a promo. Hey, Ted Evans. Trying to think of a wrestler that I can compare Okada to for someone that is not familiar with him. What are your thoughts? Just tell that person that Okada, let them think about who they view as one of the greatest wrestlers of all time. Who goes out there and has epic long matches, long wrestling matches, and the first name that pops into their head, you can compare them to Okada. Is Okada the Bret Hart of Japan? Is he the Shawn Michaels. He's probably more the Bret Hart than he is the Shawn Michaels of Japan, if you were going to make any comparison. I kind of put Okada in a class of his own. I don't really compare him to anybody. He is in a class all by himself. But yeah, the focus with him is more on the quality of his matches and the stories that he tells in his matches. His matches start very slow, and you could tell when he's going to go 30, 40, 45 minutes, because it always starts at a snail's pace, and then he kind of works his way up, and there's a certain formula, a certain pace to a lot of the Okada matches. And he's going to have to get used to being now on American television, because he's not going to be able to have long matches like that the way that he was in New Japan. He will on the pay-per-views, but not on the weekly TV. Manuel Macias, why has the Mania build-up been focused more on Rock rather than Cody and Roman? It feels to me like the WrestleMania 27 build-up, Rock against Cody over Roman and him. Because that's the way The Rock wants it. That's the way The Rock and TKO want it. They want The Rock all over this thing because they think The Rock is going to help sell WrestleMania this year more than any other single person that they have, including Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns. And that's it. Philly dried chicken and steak without flavor. If The Rock had a cookout and he invited you, would you accept the invitation to The Rock's cookout? I would. I would break bread with The Rock. Manuel says, Paul versus LA Knight is the SummerSlam match. What are your thoughts? I agree. Arabian Knight, criminal, probably not having Lashley at WrestleMania 2 years in a row. Do you think they're setting up for Montez to turn on him and Dawkins after Cross's promo before SmackDown? I could see where you would think that, but I've got to see more than just that to actually put any stock into it. It's possible, though, because he did single out Montez Ford, and it makes you wonder if there's a reason for that. And I was surprised they didn't go with a Montez singles push last year. I'm sure it's still in the plans. Is it in the plans right now, though? You know, Bobby and the Street Profits have not been together for that long. Are they already looking to break them up? That'd be a little quick. Barry. A bit of a spoiler for my rise here, but when you get the option to join The Miz, you should pick that. It's the more fun option. Are you telling me to go against my instinct and actually join with The Miz? The Miz is the one of the GMs in story mode. Joseph Brooks, would you say that although we know wrestling will never be as hot as it was in the late 90s with WWE, WCW, and ECW, would you agree that wrestling is, as of now, starting to have that feeling again? Now, look, I mean, business-wise, wrestling is as hot as it's been since that late 90s period. It definitely feels hotter than it has in a very long time. And, you know, even AEW, the numbers don't necessarily reflect it in terms of the ratings or the ticket sales in certain places. But right now, as a whole, and especially in WWE, business is up, and the product overall just feels hotter than it has in two decades. Boots. Currently filing my taxes. I logged into my Acorn account to see my dividends. First thing that pops up is The Rock promoting a debit card. He's everywhere. He's everywhere. And you throw John Cena in there, every fucking Honda commercial that comes on, I hear his voice. I'm telling you, man, these guys are everywhere. Xavier Walker, love the show. Solomonster, do you think Triple H cashes heat legally or socially for being complicit in previous WWE controversies coming to light soon? Well, we don't know that he is going to be proven complicit in anything, so I think you may be getting ahead of yourself there. If stuff comes out and he catches heat, then he'll be in a lot of trouble. But right now, it looks like he's keeping his head down, and it looks like he's going to avoid any heat for anything, unless we find out stuff that we don't know about yet. But that hasn't happened, so he's got nothing. At the moment, he's got nothing to be worried about. Barry MK says 2004 was a great year of Raw, just a very bad year for Kane and Lita. Yeah, well, great is not a word I would use to describe that period. I am not as much of a fan of that period of Raw as you are. 2002 and 2003 SmackDown, absolutely. 2003 Raw, 2004 Raw, not really. Will Chisholm, are you surprised that WWE is letting talent work HCW shoes on... What? Is this Tony Storm? Watch for the shoe? Well, I assume he's talking about the GCW show. WWE is allowing some of their talent. We'll find out who the other ones are. Shayna Baszler has been announced for the Josh Barnett Bloodsport show, WrestleMania weekend. It is very surprising, and it's a refreshing change, because WWE does not allow their talent very often to do that. It might be done as a favor every now and then, like Booker T has his promotion. They might let an NXT name work Booker T show. They let Charlie Dempsey go over at the beginning of the year and work a show for All Japan on New Year's. Nakamura, they let him work Pro Wrestling Noah in a match against Keiji Muto last year for New Year's. So it's rare, and it's something that I would like to see WWE do more of. I think it's great. Especially mainly with talent that they're not really doing much with. Like, imagine Chad Gable showing up in Bloodsport. Like, how fucking great would that be? Doesn't look like he's going to be doing anything else WrestleMania weekend, so why not? Joseph Brooks, cherish, keep, borrow, sell on these great heels who were also great baby faces. Roddy Piper, Jake the Snake, MJF, and Kurt Angle. They're all great. They're all great, but if I had to rank them, man, I'm going to cherish Kurt Angle. Because Kurt was a great babyface and he was a great heel. And he could be serious, he could be comical, he could do it all. I'm going to cherish Kurt. I am going to keep Roddy Piper. I am going to borrow Jake the Snake. And I'm going to sell MJF, and I love MJF. MJF is great, but I mean, the names that you put on this list are top tier. So, it's a pretty good list. Boobah. Just got home from work to watch SmackDown. Okay, so if Cody beats Roman, how soon does Roman blame Rock for the loss, for getting him into the tag match the night before? Does Roman even blame the Rock? We don't know if The Rock is going to end up revealing that the whole thing was all just a put-on from day one, right? That's also a possibility. Or it could be a case where Roman loses and then Rock leads a bloodline beatdown of Roman Reigns and they kick him out of the bloodline, right? I mean, there's any number of possibilities here. Rock blaming or being blamed by Roman for the loss is one of many options that they have. Chris, no tippy time at WrestleMania. What about Braun and Andrade? Why debut these people if there's no real plan? Also, is there a world where Dominic is ever taken seriously? I think that one day there will be a world where Dominic is taken seriously. I think so. You make a great point, and I've made this point before. It was very strange that they would debut new people from NXT this close to WrestleMania unless they had WrestleMania plans for them. And Bron Breakker, I said that I think he's going to be your Andre Battle Royal winner. He may win the Battle Royal on SmackDown the night before. Tiffany Stratton wasn't on the show this week. She's been on the show most weeks. She could still end up with a WrestleMania match. Maybe Bianca. Doesn't look likely. I think Bianca will be involved with Damage Control. But it's a fair point. Like, why wouldn't you just wait until the night after WrestleMania? you're this close to WrestleMania. These are brand new people first being called up, and there may not be a role for them. So why call them up? Why not wait the Raw after Mania, the SmackDown after Mania, and debut them there? Traditionally, that's what they would do. This is like the worst time to debut somebody from NXT. Because then they end up getting lost in the shuffle unless they have a solid plan for them at WrestleMania. It's like, there's no real point to it. Why wouldn't you just put it off for a few weeks? Base Beera says, just realized that Cody and Roman are facing each other twice at WrestleMania this year. Reigns and Rollins were listed as champions in the graphic, Rock as the people's champion. Well, that's what he calls himself. Arabian Knight, you surprised that Imperium are not in the tag team qualifier. Imperium is on Raw, and I don't know that we know what the Raw matches are going to be, so how do you know they're not going to be in a qualifier? They may be in a qualifier on Monday. I mean, I would expect them to be. I assume we're getting more qualifiers on Raw. Joseph Brooks, here's a different dream match question. What's in your mind the prime years for Kurt Angle and Bret Hart that would make it the dream match for you? For me, it would be 1994 Bret, and it would be 2002 Kurt Angle. That's the dream match. 94 Bret, 02 Kurt. And it could be 02 or 03, but I think it's 02. For Kurt Angle. That's the dream match right there. We have got Base Beerus again. Randy corpsing after Logan Paul kissed his forehead. LOL. Yeah, I didn't mention that, but when they had Orton down on his knees before Logan was going in for the punch, he did give Randy a kiss on the head. On the forehead. Paul Carpenter is cooking. Cooking what? You didn't tell me what you're cooking. Will Chisholm, I used to joke saying Okada is Randy Orton if Randy cared in his mid-20s and 30s. Well, you know what the comparison with Orton and Okada is apt for is the dropkick. Because Okada and Orton have two of the best dropkicks I've ever seen. So maybe Randy Orton is the closest comparison I would make. But again, I look at Okada and I just say, I don't really compare him to anybody. He's just kind of, like, you have people that compare this guy to Shawn Michaels, or this guy to Bret, or this guy to Stone Cold. And I look at them and I'm like, there's only one Stone Cold. Like, I wouldn't, you know what I mean? Like, there are certain people where it's just like, it's them. They carve out their own niche. It's just like, you can't really compare them to anybody else. Randy Orton may be the closest thing. Because Orton also, he kind of worked a methodical style. The drop kick, very athletic. Clone Force. Thoughts on WWE talent going to wrestle in GCW? We already talked about that. I think it's a positive thing. I'd like to see them do more of that with other promotions. I could think of one promotion based here in New York. My God, if I can get my hands on Chad Gable and bring him to House of Glory, fuck. I would do that in a heartbeat. Barry MK, after watching both... Hey, Nick Aldis and Adam Pierce, call me. After watching both options, most people like The Miz option the most. All right, well, we might have to do that. Base Beerus says, I actually thought Mercury lost an eye that night. He's lucky he didn't. He's very lucky that he didn't. And the Juliet says, Raw qualifiers on Monday are The New Day against Alpha Academy, DIY against the Creeds, and Awesome Truth against Indus Share. That's right, they did announce those matches. Well, New Day being in is a given. The Creeds and DIY, I think DIY get in, and then Awesome Truth get in. So that's three. The tag champs are four. And then from SmackDown gets two, which will probably be Bate and Dunn. And then Maybe AOP gets in. All right, well, yeah. I mean, it is surprising that Imperium wouldn't be in there, but I guess that means they'll be in the Battle Royal, right? I guess so. Paul Carpenter says, is cooking the beginning of... Yes, I know that. I am aware of where you got that from, but I was asking... Yeah, never mind. Play along, Paul. Play along. Thank you, Paul. Of course I'm aware of that. It's one of my favorite theme songs. You don't think I know that? It's a great song. All right, the goal for Be the Booker tonight was a mere 400 likes, and we are now well over 500. So thank you very much for that. As CM Punk, as you see there on your screen, choking out poor Jack Perry. Choked that boy out so much, he passed out when he woke up. He was in Japan. He didn't even know where he was. Let's Be the Booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to Be the Booker.
Apparently, Cody joked after the dark main event tonight, I missed the first part of the show. What happened? There you go. See, that's what he needs to do on TV. He needs to come out and be snarky. If we're not going to get serious, like super serious Cody Rhodes, we need snarky Cody Rhodes. That's what we need. I'll tell you what we need. We need to book a clean sweep tonight because we have not done the greatest job and be the booker this week. So we need to end the week on a positive note. That's what we need. So let's try it. And we begin with the public enemy, Rocco Rock and Johnny Grunge. How we feeling about public enemy kicking us off here and be the booker? A lot of public enemy fans here in this chat. Public Enemy against the Real Americans, Cesaro and Jack Swagger. See, a tables match would be most... Why don't we add a stipulation to this match? Wouldn't it be something if we landed on tables match? I'm curious now. Because really, that's the only stipulation that would be appropriate here. But there's a lot of stips, as you can see, as we take this thing for a spin. We don't do stipulations all the time. I save these for the rare occasions. But let's pick a stip here for this match. Public Enemy and the Real Americans are going to have not a table match. They are going to have a blindfold match. And that sounds terrible. So that did not work out the way that I had hoped. But let's move on now. Ladies, be the booker. Let's move on. We have a blindfold match on our card. And we begin here with Hikaru Shida. I saw a picture of Shida. Apparently Shida, I guess, is working Athena in Ring of Honor now. They've moved Shida over to ROH because they have nothing for her in AEW. And she had a bit of a new look, which is very interesting. Hikaru Shida. I'm going to go one-on-one with Allison Kay. I give that the bell. I think that would be a pretty decent match. Not a bad match. Not a marquee match either, but not a bad match. Okay, it all comes down to this. This is it. We could go 3 for 3 here on a Friday night. I want this. You guys came through on the likes, and keep hitting that like button too, because I want to hit 600 if we can before I get out of here. But we begin with Jake the Snake Roberts, one of the all-time great minds in the wrestling business, one of the all-time great heels. Man, that Jake heel run. I'm talking about the second one, the one that came in 91 into the beginning part of 92. They don't make him like that anymore. Jake the Snake. Who's he going to take on? Who's Jake going to step in the ring with? Who's he going to stick Damien on? Jake the Snake Roberts against Jay Briscoe. Interesting. I had not thought of that as a potential match. One of the Briscoes, one half of the Briscoes against Jake the Snake Roberts. Why don't we throw a stipulation in there for this one, too? Let's see. Let's see what kind of match we end up with here. As you fantasy book that match in your mind, let's see what stipulation it's going to be. Jake the Snake and Jay Briscoe are going to have themselves... Oh, boy. Well, oh, boy. Jake Roberts in a TLC match, even in his prime, is really pushing it. See, Jake is a guy, man, this is like the antithesis of what Jake is all about. Jake's all about psychology, in the ring, on the mic. Jake Roberts in a TLC match, it just runs so counter to everything that this guy probably believes in and how he was as a performer. Jay Briscoe would thrive in a match like this. Jake, though, I don't know about that. Oh, wait, but hold on a second. Hold on. I missed it. Let's go back.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time.
You're going to hear all the sounds again. You're going to hear all the sounds again. But I forgot we had a clean sweep. Couldn't get out of here without playing that. We went 3 for 3. I have to give you the sound effect. There you go. Almost forgot, but not quite. D.E.H. Sires, 2009 Undertaker against Gunther in today's time would be fire. Nah, 2009, I would go 2007. Like 2007, 2008 Undertaker. Like 09 would be cool. That was the same year he wrestled Shawn Michaels, but I'd go like 07, 08 Undertaker. I feel like that was his physical peak. Cameron Spencer with the $4.99. The Katie Vick segment had me laughing in tears with snot coming out of my nose and my stomach hurting. The funniest segment I have seen in wrestling. Are you talking about the segment in the funeral home? Really? It made you laugh that hard? You and Vince McMahon would get along very well. I hear he doesn't have much to do these days. You should probably give him a call. Maybe you guys can hang out. Come on, Cameron. Philly Dried Chicken says Dakota Kai. That girl is poison. And there you go. Philly Dried Chicken and Steak, thank you very much. Thank you, everybody. Including, we got to see the ghost come out a couple of times tonight. On the Dynamite stream the other night, we had our first Coal Tar Super Chat sighting. You guys have been having fun with these, so I appreciate that. On Monday, come back here is the next time I'll be live with you. We'll see what Cody Rhodes' response is to The Rock, talking about his mom. Sunday, of course, is episode 853 of The Sound Off. We're going to talk about all the news of the week. Mercedes Moné debuting in AEW. Corporate officer number 1, 2, 3, and 4. Revealed in the Janelle Grant lawsuit. I've got some thoughts on that. And Dark Side of the Ring is talking Buff Bagwell. And I got a lot to say about that too. Especially some stuff that Buff said in the episode that has already been very forcefully pushed back on by a certain someone. So we'll talk about that. Talk about that and what led to the true nail in the coffin once and for all for WCW. Because Buff had a part to play in that. So that's coming up on Sunday. Until then, be well, stay safe, have yourselves a great weekend. And I leave you with this. One last word here from the People's Champion. I think he has a little something to say to Cody Rhodes. Rock, what is it? What is it again you wanted to talk about?
I can't give the belt to Dusty, but I can give it to my mama. I can give it to my mommy. My mommy. Shut the fuck up.
See you guys on Monday night.